is closed today. We will be talking in detail about the series What If and the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse in general. Come back and have a listen when you're all caught up. Yeah.
We are talking super soldiers, Hydra Stompers, and more because this is The Breakdown. Video time. The multiverse is finally open, and we cannot wait to see all the possibilities it brings. Today, all of our Avengers have assembled for our first installment of The Breakdown. This is a show where we dissect the nerdiest content and give you our thoughts and theories. Reuniting on Earth 616 today for the first time in a while, we have our four original video dames, myself, Alyssa, Joe, Megan, and Leah! Yay! How are you ladies doing?
Doing good. So excited to have everybody back together. This is so fun.
That's my sign. What is that? Jerry Seinfeld? No, not Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Springer.
Jerry.
Leah, we missed you. We did have your variant, Alex, for a couple episodes. But how have you been? How's the void?
You know what? It's been great. Just been trying not to screw up all the timelines, you know how I be. glad that Alex was able to step in and hang out. Does she also have blue hair? Or
I think she wishes she had blue hair. That's
she's
pretty cool.
She's from a
look.
Timeline when you didn't dye your hair.
you know what? That is also possible. You ever think about that? You ever think that there's just a different version of you out there somewhere that you like didn't cut your hair real short, or like I don't know, Megan. Wasn't Megan?
I was gonna say like I didn't gain 40 pounds in the last 2 years, or is that a different Alyssa?
The multiverse where there was no COVID.
Megan, where we would be.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I don't want to think about that one. No. That one goes in the box that we put under the bed.
Oh my gosh. Tonight we are here to talk about the first installment of Marvel's What If. So if you need a little bit of a refresher as to what that is, let me give you a little tidbit. Marvel's What If takes on the popular comic spinoff series that started originally in 1977. It explored obscure multiverse topics that could have only occurred if something in the character's universe was different. Some of the original run issues include, what if Spider-Man joined the Avengers? What if Iron Man were a traitor? What if Daredevil had killed Kingpin? And what if Doctor Doom became the Sorcerer Supreme? A few of these may be what we see play out in the 9-episode series. From trailer footage we've seen, I can see maybe a couple of those coming to life. But ladies, what if story would you pitch, and how would it go?
Okay. Mine's super boring. But it's all I could think about when I was watching the first episode. Mine was, what if Red Skull's super serum had worked properly? Like, what if he hadn't gotten like the scary test version of like the first iteration of it, but if they had waited like a year and then given him that instead, what would like his story play out like? Because I know it's a lot of like your personality and like who you are as a person is amplified. But he also wouldn't have been shunned for being scary red no-nose guy. So what would his
no-nose guy? That's interesting.
When he got punched, I had never seen this portion of the movie before. I swear to God, I'd never seen it. And maybe I like went to the bathroom at the movies or something. In the first Avenger, when he gets punched in the face by Steve and his eyes just like pull down like this and you just see a bunch of red under his eyes, I was like, what the fuck is that? That's horrifying. He's a scary dude.
Yeah, super scary dude.
Leah, what do you think? Just, Oh, sorry.
I was
go ahead.
Say, I literally just only look at his nose. That's it. I can't look at anything else. It's just nose.
It's just
or no nose.
Of.
Yeah. That's it. There's nothing else.
No nose. And nose that knows all and sees all.
Oh my god. You know. I like it.
Sorry, Alyssa. What did you say?
I said, Leah. What do you think
about no nose?
Yes, about no nose.
I don't know, like, because I can appreciate where you're coming from and see, like, that could be a possibility, but, like, what if he just, like, if he's always going to be a bad person, like, if he was a bad person to begin with, he's always going to be a bad person. So, that was what Stanley Tucci's character was saying. I forget his name. I'm so sorry.
Erskine.
Tucci. Oh,
yes. That, like, great good, like, can become greater and, like, bad just becomes worse. So, like, I mean, I would just think that he would just become worse than worse. Like, what else could he possibly become?
Yeah, but you wonder how, like, how the situation was maybe exacerbated by the fact that he became red no-nose. Like, you'd probably be a pretty miserable person if you look like that, too. I'm just saying. Maybe he had a chance.
What you're saying is if he had known that he was going to look like that, maybe he would have been a better person so that he would have become an actual super soldier?
No, I just mean, like, in a normal circumstance, if you were like, oh, I'm, like, not a great person, but, like, everyone has, like, good and bad in them. Maybe he was, like, a medium person, and then he was horribly disfigured, and now he's, like, petty and angry and, like, awful, and it's, like, exacerbated by the fact that he's, like, extra ugly now. So maybe he, like, had a chance to be, like, a medium super soldier, and now he's just, like, complete villain. Because what else are you going to do? What other career path are you going to go into if you look like that? Like, that's your only option.
Only super villain. That's all you got. That's the best that you've got, honestly.
Anyway, that's my what if thoughts.
Well, mine kind of jumps off of that. My thought was, what if Erskine wasn't assassinated? So, like, where would the super soldier serum be? And would they have created, like, an army of Steves, so, like, looking for good-hearted people to kind of take on the mantle of a soldier, because a lot of people who are strong and tough are also intimidating because they're awful people on the inside, or they just want violence. That's why when Erskine kind of, like, went into Steve's procedure room or wherever he was getting questioned and assessed to be a soldier, he was like, do you want to kill Nazis? And he was like, I don't want to kill anybody. I just want to, like, take the bullies out of the world. That's the question that you ask those people. And he was the one person that did that. Like, not Tommy Lee Jones' character. He was like, he's small and he's useless. So he's not the soldier I was looking for. I got you instead of a soldier. So I think it would be a really interesting thing to do. Because obviously, Agent Carter, we all loved it so far. Spoiler alert, it was awesome. That's my thought.
That's super interesting. I was wondering, what if Bucky took it instead? I know we've now done the what if Peggy Carter took the super soldier serum. I wonder what Bucky would have done, because would it be a version of the Winter Soldier, but with a positive spin? Except he's not nearly as good-hearted as Steve Rogers is, but he's still a good person, and he's still on the right side of everything. Where would he have taken it? I honestly have no idea. Like, I actually wonder, what if?
I don't know. Like, all I can think of is, what if... Like, I mean, you can all think of, like, what if the serum didn't actually do anything? Like, what would have happened to Steve, like, had they had gone through this entire process? And, like, we know, like, you know, based on the actual story itself, like, that it does have an effect, negative both and positive, depending on who it's given to. But, like, what if, you know, Red Skull wasn't actually Red Skull? He was just a regular bad guy running the Nazis, trying to come up with something, and, like, they still had, you know, the Tesseract and stuff in their possession, whatever, right? But, like, what if they put him in the machine and nothing happened? What would they have done? Would they just have discarded him as a person, as a soldier, as part of the military? Would they have, you know, actually let him continue training, being this scrawny little kid from Brooklyn, like what actually would have happened? Like, let's say there was no explosion, there was no, nobody got shot, nothing happened. They just wanted it to happen as how it was supposed to happen. And he came out and nothing happened. Like, how would they go forward from there? You know, like, did they have a backup plan for if it didn't work?
That's a super interesting point of view, because one of the big parts about this soldier serum, at least the amount that they gave Steve in our regular MCU and now Peggy in the MCM, is that what we're going to call it now?
The MCM?
The Marvel Cinematic Multiverse.
Sure, that works. I like it.
The amount of soldier serum that they're pumping into them versus, like, if you haven't seen Falcon Winter Soldier, they're just taking, like, this little vial of it, so their bodies don't really change. They just have this, like, super strength hidden within their body. Maybe it would have done something to Steve in that aspect. Like, maybe it did make him strong, but he was still this skinny, weak looking person. I don't know. Yeah, so many avenues that could go down.
Yeah, literally infinite. Just, like, so many options. We saw at the end of Loki how many infinite timelines could potentially prune off of this. So, not prune. Prune would be the opposite.
Yeah.
Could grow off of it. What'd you say, Leah?
So we don't want to prune anybody.
No, the opposite. Speaking of the multiverse, what are your thoughts on Marvel breaking out into the multiverse? Is there anything that you want to see specifically either in this show, because we do know it's going to be multiple seasons, or in the MCU in general? Megan, and then Leah.
Okay, so I was super hesitant when it came to this multiverse thing. I was like, how the heck are they going to get a wrangle on literally infinite possibilities? They could go pretty much anywhere they want to. How are they going to make this flow as well as they did the last 20 odd movies? Where now you can watch the first four phases of the MCU in a timeline order because they all fit well together. How are they going to do that with this massive expansion of a multiverse? But the way that they're going, starting off with this What If show, is, like, perfect, because they're creating avenues of, like, okay, here's Peggy now as Captain Carter, and then the others that will follow in future episodes. Are they all going to be interwoven as one single universe, or are these now multiple pathways that will continue on their own and have their own snowball effect? I don't know. It's huge, but I'm super excited for it.
Leah, go right ahead.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because, like, you don't know, like, nobody knows what would really happen if everything branched out. Like, nobody that is in that branch is knowing what's happening in that branch, right? So it's just, like, it literally is infinite possibilities. Like, for me, I don't know if this is, like, it's kind of basic, but, like, I don't know if it's confirmed or not that they're going to actually have all the three different actors that have played Spider-Man, or four, I guess, actors that have played Spider-Man in the same movie. Because allegedly, they're saying that Tobey Maguire is going to be in one of the Spider-Man movies, but he's going to be Doc Ock. So I'm kind of like, how, like, is it supposed to be, like, a homage to his character, like, him as the actor originally playing Spider-Man? Because, like, for me, I feel like, why not just throw all of them together? Like, put Miles and Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire all together and do something. Like, they have the ability to do this. Like, I know the original Spider-Man was Sony, and I know they have things with Sony going on, but, like, Disney has all the money in the world. Like, they can literally do whatever the heck they want, you know? Like, I'm sure they would all be down for it. Like, they all had a good time when they played them the first time. And, like, it just, I don't know, like, I just would be so down for that. Like, that's what I want to see, ideally, is that the all of them come together in one film or multiple.
Oh, yeah.
Films, you know?
Yeah.
I super agree with you, Leah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that's where a lot of people are really antsy for the No Way Home trailer, because they want to see that visually, like, shown, that we're gonna have all of those people in one movie and they're all Spider-Man and it's all connected and it all makes sense. But I think that we're so used to seeing, like, this is the one universe that we know on this Earth, and that's it, and everything has to, like, make sense and go with each other. Ugh. But from, like, a comic book perspective, this is, like, a normal thing, right? Like, there's, you know, this issue that has this illustrator and this writer, and it goes with this storyline, and then there's a different person who has a completely different style and slightly different powers and things like that, where this is like a normal comic book thing. So I think that a lot of longtime, like, comic book fans are probably just totally on board. Like, it makes sense. This is the Earth that we're living on, is like, instead of 616, it's like 529 or whatever. I don't know any of the numbers.
529.
Yeah, I think it's just like, you just kind of have to take it for what it is in the universe that it's in. Kind of like things like Into the Spider-Verse. You're like, all of these different people, we happen to see them all in one space, but they have all existed and lived their lives, and there's lots of universes where, yeah, Miles Morales was Spider-Man, and then there's different ones where Peter Parker was Spider-Man, and they're all valid, but they, like, I think we're, like, starting to get used to that sort of thing, where it's not, like, weird to see anymore, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right with saying the whole thing about all the different Spider-Men, like, Into the Spider-Verse really introduced us to the fact that a multiverse is possible, and also extremely entertaining, at least for the film people who are getting into Marvel with all the movies. For comic book people, like you said, Joanne, like, they're all already used to this, and they're all really hopefully stoked to see what we can now visually see in animation, which I'm super excited about.
Totally. In addition to Megan's point, like, how are they going to continue to do it? They're, of course, started off really well with What If and all these different possibilities, but I think it gives the MCU a lot of rewatchability because, for example, like, Endgame, a lot of the things that happened in Endgame were related to previous movies because, of course, like, they went back in time and everything, but they might fit into the order that already exists. Like, Eternals might fit between Ant-Man and Captain Marvel somewhere. Like, we don't know where they're going to end up. So if Marvel can get us to rewatch the entire series over and over on Disney Plus or in DVDs and Blu-rays, if DVDs still exist.
DVDs.
I haven't bought a DVD in like 7 years. VHS. Or a Blu-ray, if I'm being honest. VHS. So I think it's a really smart move to give the entire series rewatchability, because you might notice something in Shang-Chi that's coming up soon that you might not have noticed when you watched Doctor Strange or The Incredible Hulk, because we know Abomination is coming, things like that. And if the multiverse exists, then maybe there are things about the characters that might have been hinted at previously. So the only thing that I can think of is with Agent Carter specifically, I didn't really realize, because I had only seen it once or twice, that she was such a strong-willed person who had very similar qualities to Steve. And one of the things that I noticed when we were rewatching the movie a couple days ago was when Tommy Lee Jones' character, I forget what his name is, when Tommy Lee Jones throws the grenade and Steve kind of goes and he's like, get away, get away. The next person to run towards the grenade and cover it is Agent Carter, right behind him. So she has what it takes. And I didn't notice that until I was like, I'm going to go back and watch this movie. So there's all these little crumbs that they're giving us, and they have to have put more crumbs in everything else. The other one I can think of is Kang's, like, little, what's the word I'm looking for? His, like, metropolis that's in the quantum realm. I didn't know about that until I started learning more about Kang. And then I went back and watched Quantumania. That hasn't come out yet. Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I can see when Hank Pym is riding through the quantum realm, there's a little tiny metropolis, and you'd miss it if you didn't pause it. So,
oh, absolutely.
It's honestly so interesting, and there's so much in there that you just would miss if you didn't watch all of it in its entirety.
That's such a good point, Alyssa, and I think it's super interesting that you're, you know, hinting at the fact that this is all so rewatchable. like all of this is all connected to each other. And that's one of the things that's pulled me in to the MCU, because I love puzzles. So it's almost like this big puzzle that you can see a movie completely out of order and still get a sense of how good it is, but then go and watch other things and go, oh my God, this person's there, or that thing was in this movie. It's this, man, Kevin Feige's a genius.
Freaking genius. Oh, we love a good Feige. These stories are all told through the power of animation as well, which is something we've never seen Marvel do before. Do you think that this helps in the storytelling at all, and why?
Yes, 1,000 times yes. I can't stop talking about the animation with anybody who will listen to me. I, again, come from a very specific world of wanting to be part of animation, but this gives off, like, it gives off a lot of Atlantis vibes. I don't know if that's just me, but the, like, 2D, 3D mixture is super cool, and it almost feels like I'm watching an animated comic book, very similar to how they animated Into the Spider-Verse. It's something very unlike anything we've seen before, and I think that's so incredible. There are aspects to it that feel a little off just because we're not used to seeing Marvel in this way for a very long time. There are obviously cartoons from when we were kids that were on Saturday mornings, and they were like super, I don't know, Power Rangers, Transformers. It was all that kind of anime-esque style animation. But I just find this so intriguing to watch. And especially with this episode, I thought it was super cool how fast-paced it was. And their lines are like quick whips, and it moves the story on so long that you're almost watching, obviously, a different version of Captain America in fast forward, which I think is,
oh yeah,
it was a really cool way to watch this. I think they can do so much more with the MCU with animation, because you can do endless things with animation, which is super cool.
Wherever your mind takes you, you can do it.
Literally.
100% true, though. Because, like, yeah, they were definitely afforded a lot more leniency for things that they could do. They didn't have to, you know, be on an actual train on a mountain or have green screen or what. I know they weren't on a mountain, but they didn't have to have all of those things and have all those people physically, you know, get dressed up and gain or lose a certain amount of weight to look like whatever. Like, it was, I think, a lot easier for them to recreate moments specifically, like shot for shot, exactly how they looked in the first film, which is easier to do when it's animated. I was so torn when I saw that it was going to be animated, because one, I knew obviously Megan's going to love it because it's Megan.
Yeah, of course.
But I just think about, like, the average viewer, and I think about something like Clone Wars, where, like, even as a Star Wars fan, I still haven't seen it. Nobody come for me.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, it's like a kid's spinoff of a movie that we all grew up with, and it's just going to be for kids. And I think that's potentially how it started initially in the little first littlest bit. But it's just being animated, my brain immediately goes, oh, like, that's not a necessary part of the universe when all of it's been live action and just this one portion at the time had been animated. I was like, oh, I can skip it. I just hope that a lot of people aren't in the same boat where they're like, oh, what if, you know, it's like a throwaway, they're little quick 30-minute animated whatevers, and they just did it to throw something interesting in there, like a short or whatever. My hope is just that people do take it as seriously or give it as much merit as the rest of the movies or TV shows. It's not like, oh, WandaVision was live action and this is animated, so it's not as good or not as valid. And then my other thought process was, them using the same voice actors as the movies, makes me nervous a little bit also, because I'm like, what if they want to do something like totally different and out there, and now they can't get the voice actor and it feels off or whatever. They've kind of like put themselves in a position where they have to keep that going a little bit, I feel. So I'm very intrigued and excited to see what direction it goes, but I feel like there's also like it's more controversial than maybe some of just the clear-cut live action. Like, these are people we already know, and this is a tiny story of, like, Wanda in her house, and we know her, and I can connect with that actress as well as the, like, story itself, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point, especially because we aren't getting all of the actors playing who they used to play. We only have some, and I'm kind of with you there, Joanna. I was worried that the people who are used to being live action actors, maybe, not that they don't have the skill, because they obviously do, but it would just be such a different experience. Yeah, so they won't be able to play the characters in the exact same way, where before seeing anything, I was like, they should just cast all new people.
And I was thinking that too.
Yeah, they recorded all of this like a long time ago, obviously, but I thought, I don't know if you're going to have like professional voice actors that do this specifically. Are they going to stand out because they have the experience? But then also while watching it, especially like with this specific episode, hearing Sebastian Stan come out as Bucky, I was like, oh, it's so nice to hear his voice. And because it's animated, but also just the way that they were telling this story, it's okay that he said some kind of cheesy lines, because that's what this is about. And it's how fast paced it was, and the timeline, like the fact that it is 1940s, people were gonna say cheesy stuff because that's just how they talked back then. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's hard.
Like, when they decide to do the animated shows, like, they have so much more that they can do. Like, there's so much more that they can work with, right? Like, when you think about all of the props and all of the backgrounds and everything that went into making a movie that's supposed to take place in, like, 1940s, like, that is a lot of money. Like, it's still a lot of money to animate. And I'm even, like, wondering, like, I don't know if anybody had a chance to look this up, but I'm even wondering, based on how smooth the animation quality was, not just with, like, the frame rate and the resolution, but also their movements are very realistic. And I'm also wondering, like, they did this in the Clone Wars, did they mocap them? Because, maybe, like, it's very possible. Like, you can tell when something is animated traditionally. And, like, obviously it's, like, a traditional animation, but it's, like, really high res. It's almost, like, it's almost comparable to a Scanner Darkly. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, with Robert Downey Jr. and Keanu Reeves. And basically what they do is, like, it's the actors, and they, like, place, like, almost, like, an animated filter over them, but it's, like, they're mo-capped. And, it, like, it was kind of, like, giving off the same effect, and it makes it feel, you know, it felt a lot like, Into the Spider-Verse, with like the same kind of like comic book style pows, and like all the little like
the explosions
flashing off of other people when they're being hit and whatnot, right? But it still felt like they were right in the room. Like, it felt like they were moving fluidly and organically, not like how an animator would move them frame by frame kind of thing. So, like, I'm even wondering, like, did they take an extra step? Did they mocap them? Like, I have no idea. And if they did, like, they're giving us a lot more in this animation than what people are expecting. Like, it's not just for kids. It's not just like a little extra thing that you can watch if you feel like it. It's like, it's kind of like what you're saying, Joanne, like with Star Wars, the Clone Wars, right? Like, it's like, you don't have to watch the Clone Wars. You don't have to watch Rebels. You don't have to watch the Bad Batch, but there are so many different elements to those shows that are part of the main stories that if you don't watch them, like, you're going to miss a lot of content. Like, I would have had no idea that Saul Guerrero was even a relevant character after watching, you know, like, Rogue One. I was like, oh, like, who's this new character? Forrest Whitaker. And then it turns out, like, he's in a whole bunch of stuff. He's in the game. He's in Rebels. He's, like, he's just everywhere. And it's, like, maybe we're going to see some characters in this What If show as well that are actually part of the regular timeline. What, like, that's also a possibility, you know?
This is true. This is definitely true. You guys have a lot of really great outlooks on this animated series. It's the first actual animated series like this that I've watched. Again, I've never watched Clone Wars or Bad Batch, so I'm definitely dipping my toe in this, but this is very tasteful, and I think it's an opportunity, like we talked about, for Marvel to explore some things that they wouldn't normally feel comfortable exploring with the live action stuff. But you guys hit the nail on the head 3 times. So I'm just going to go to the next question. Bang, bang, bang. So this episode, the first installment, 33 minutes long. What did we think about this episode overall? Leah, what'd you think?
Trying to not be too vague, but it was just incredible. Like every second of it, there was like what you're saying earlier, like there was just a little crumb here and there that they threw in of something from like Captain America. Like I think my favorite part was when Bucky fell on the train and she caught him on the train. And he goes, ah, geez, you almost ripped my arm off. Like,
I love that.
Like, I know it was meant to be. It was meant to be put in there. But just those little things that they did as a reminder to, like, the fact that this is an alternate reality, that this may not have actually happened, and that it is definitely a what-if situation. Everything about it is wonderful. And I cannot stress enough. Her having a sword is just cool. The ultimate, like, you know that TikTok audio where it's just like, what's a scene in a show or a movie where it's just women, you know? That's her, you know what I mean? And I don't just love it because she is now taking the place of Captain America. I just love everything about it. The ending too, where she comes out at the end. Sorry guys, spoilers, but like she comes out at the end and it's 2012 and it's the start of the Avengers movie, and it's like, how is this going to affect how the Avengers was supposed to take place?
Yes.
You know? There's so much like what ifs after the episode, like what's gonna happen after this? Like, I don't know. They're just, the possibilities are endless, you know. I just, every second of it, I loved it.
Yeah, I'm gonna tail off of that, Leah. I started off with not knowing where this was gonna go, and like the episode started and I was like, oh, okay, cool, they're giving us sort of this catch up to remind us what story we're about to watch. And then the watcher question, is that another version of Kang?
No,
he's his own
different people.
The watcher, oh, okay. Is basically the character who sees all, unlike Heimdall, I guess, in the universe or the galaxy. Heimdall sees all there. But he sees all of the multiple realities, and he just tells the story in the What If comics.
He has no control over anything. That's the difference.
He's the narrator.
The
and
narrator.
He's Bernanald. Bernanald from the Westworld.
Oh my god. Jeffrey Wright being chosen for that role? Unreal. I heard his voice and I like melted. I love him so much. And I want him to narrate everything forever. He's the new Morgan Freeman.
Oh my god, absolutely. He's fantastic.
So Freeman dies, great. He's going to take his place.
Yep, very well could.
He will never die.
What'd you say?
I said he will never die.
He is
he played God in Bruce Almighty and he will live forever.
And Evan Almighty.
Yeah, that checks out.
God
Evan
twice.
Almighty? Is that a movie?
Yes. It's
yeah, it's really.
With
it's
who?
Steve Carell.
Dare.
Steve Carell does like the.
Steve Carell Joanne.
No, I hate it. Steve Carell is told to like build an ark. He's supposed to be like Noah. That's like the
what?
Evan Almighty storyline. Yeah.
Anyways,
have something on my
we
list.
Can watch it. It's
anyways,
fine.
Uatu.
Back to your regularly scheduled.
Yes, but one of the things I really wanted to talk about specifically with like the overarching thing with this whole episode was. Marvel keeps giving us these strong ass female characters,
yes!
And I'm so about it. And I know that it's like, okay, it's about time that we have these strong female characters at the forefront. But like the Scarlet Witch, Agatha Harkness, Yelena and Black Widow, and now we have this badass Peggy Carter, Captain Carter, who is a hell of a lot stronger and way more badass than Steve Rogers ever was. It's amazing. The whole aspect, like Leah, you were talking about thinking this could be mocap. If it's not, then it's shocking because it is like a fantastic how the animators have done this movement. But she just like full force goes into it rather than being like nervous and not knowing, where Steve Rogers' first like run at being a super soldier is he's kind of just chasing a guy. He's not really doing anything to him. He's just chasing after him. Whereas like Peggy grabs that shield, she flips a car over, and then she was like, that was brilliant. And then just
love
continues
that.
To beat up so many people. And one of my favorite parts of the whole episode was the montage of fighting to that like super triumphant parade music of the 1940s, where I feel like that music mirrors the like USO shows that Steve does, where he's like saying his lines and all those ladies are dancing behind him and it's like super lame. And now that music is layered on top of Peggy Carter being a badass bitch. And I love it. Like the way she bursts through that one plane and then flies off and goes to the next plane.
Hell
and
yeah.
Oh, she is so cool. And also, this show is super violent. This is not for children. Anybody who says that animated shows are for children is lying to themselves. And this show is fantastic. The fact that it's animated just makes it 10 times better. Yeah. Does anybody know that I'm obsessed with the show already?
I couldn't tell. I don't know. No, Megan, there's a... I totally got that feeling, too. There's a line, I can't remember what it is verbatim, but Steve basically tells her, like, yeah, you were made for this. Like, now the outside matches the inside. You were always, really strong and really powerful, and now you just... You've always, like, earned and have deserved this respect and, you know, deserve to be in the room. But now they can't, like, say no because you're literally stronger than everybody combined. And what are they going to do about it?
Right? Oh, it's awesome.
I think that was one of my favorite things. Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to jump off of that and say, like, that's probably one of my favorite things that happened in the episode, where they flipped the script on the, like, the colonel or the sergeant. And he was like, you're lucky to be in the room. And then she's basically doing the Steve where she's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go here and we're going to do this. And this is the plan. And he's trying to like say his piece. And she's like, you're lucky to be in the room.
Yes.
Like, she's in fucking charge. And if you don't listen to her, she will literally pull you in half.
Literally.
She will hurt you so bad that your children back in America will feel the pain. That's how badly she will hurt you. She was awesome.
Also, you talking about them flipping the script, I think it's super cool that they still use the same, like, maybe you haven't found the right dance partner lines. And even at the end where he was like, but you're supposed to give me a dance lesson. And she's like, don't worry, we will next Saturday, as she's pushing that squid into. Oh, yes. I've like wanted to bawl my eyes out.
I love that she's still in love with him. Like, I'm really happy that the relationship was still going to continue. He didn't feel threatened by her, and she wasn't like repulsed by him because he was like this short little scrawny guy. Like, their mm-hmm. love is true, and like mm-hmm. that, I love that. I love that they kept that in, you know.
It's probably the best relationship aside from Wanda and Vision, mm-hmm. probably the best relationship that the MCU has ever put together.
And Vision is a robot, so, you know.
So that tells
you
the
best two humans to be put together. Gosh, well,
not
freaking
love a robot, but you know.
You know what, you're not wrong. Freaking Captain Carter, that's all we have to say. Exclamation point. Done. Point blank, she is unreal. Immediately we're all hooked on interesting and deep her character is. It is rumored that she will enter the MCU that we know and love. How do you think she will be introduced, and what impact do you think that she'll have on the stories? No,
I don't know.
Yeah. Not everybody.
Oh,
go
my
first.
God. I don't know, because we've spent so long in our original MCU getting to know like Steve Rogers and his cast of characters and the relationships that they've all built. But like, is Steve old and or dead now because she's gone forward in the future? We don't know.
Who knows?
So I don't know how they could tie this in or make it make sense in the existing MCU we have now. I my mind is blown just even thinking about that. I would love to see more of her. I would love if, I don't remember her name, the original actress who actually plays
Hayley Atwell.
Mm-hmm. If Hayley Atwell found a way to come and physically be like live action Captain Carter in the MCU now, I would love it. I want to see more of her. I want to see all of it. I have no idea how. And this is probably the first time that I've actively like stopped myself and decided I'm not going to research and look at, because the comics exist and I'm sure I could find it. But I want to just enjoy this series. I want to give it like all the shock value it deserves as someone who has not read the What If series comics and just go in with fresh eyes and not be like, it's Mephisto. Like, I don't know these people, so I'm not
I kid you not, I'm reading Agents of Asgard right now, the Loki comic, and fucking Mephisto came out of some kind of Mongolian monk, and I was like, this is why everybody was like, Mephisto.
Mephisto.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's on like page 25, and I'm like, damn, he really is in everything. That's crazy.
But like, I feel like we got so caught up in like, I have never heard of or known of Mephisto or even Kang kind of prior to us going through all of this. And we've actively like looked up comics or looked up people's commentary on these sorts of topics, and I want to just let this one live. I don't want to know. I just want to watch it.
Yeah.
And it will play out as it plays out, and I'm just here for the ride. That's all.
I'm with you.
In terms of like where I'm hoping that she turns up, I keep saying that Steve is not done. Captain America's arc, Captain America and Chris Evans, first of all, are one, too popular, too young. Like, Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. are not the same age. So I can understand that, like, Iron Man is finished. He had, like, 27 movies, and he was in all of them, right? So he's had his time. He had an actual full arc and everything. I'm loving the fact that there is a reality where Steve goes back and he never comes home, and he just lives throughout the timeline, like we saw at the end of Endgame. But what if we see him come back? What if there's a timeline where he does come back, or potentially we see his journey to return the stones? Because I can't imagine that was just like so easy to do. There's probably a reality where he survives, comes back, and then the timeline breaks loose and he's gone, but also maybe Captain Carter is also there, and there's kind of like a tag team of super soldiers. That would be sick.
Just to bounce off your idea of him returning the stones, I know other people have had this idea, but I think Disney and Marvel are really missing out by not doing a short of that.
Or series. Could you imagine one or episode for every stone?
Honestly, like a mini series, single season, Steve got the stones back.
They could do a mini series for anything. There could have been a whole series just for Captain Carter, but I totally get it being like, we kind of addressed it and we know what's happening, but like just a quick like montage of him putting things back, or like he knocks over a lamp and he has to like put it back so that he doesn't mess up the timeline or something. I would love to see that. I think that'd be hilarious.
Right?
I think there's like a fan-made version of this, either on TikTok or Reddit or something like that, where there were like some stills. Somebody that edited photos of Steve in the time machine suit from Endgame, and they show him like standing next to Red Skull up at the top of the mountain Vormir, and it's like, how would that conversation go? Because like, you're gonna see your enemy from like 1940 whatever, and
he's like, sup,
oh, no, sup. No, it's been 80 years, how you doing?
I'm not the same anymore. I'm here for one thing only, and I'm here to guide people to what I cannot have. And he goes like, I don't trust you, but like, cool.
But also, here, take it back. Can I get back the person you killed for this?
Oh, trade scenes?
Is that something that is plausible? Like, I don't know if you guys talked about this in the Loki episode, but like, did you notice that when they opened the drawer, one of the only stones that wasn't in there was the Soul Stone?
I didn't notice that.
We did not talk about that, but I noticed that, Leah. Yeah. That's
like, sick. There's got to be something to that. Like, there's no way that they're not intentionally hiding these little things all over these shows and all over these movies for us, right? You know, like, I feel like once What If is over, once they finish the show as like the series as a whole, there's going to be so much more that comes out of this. Like, they already started with WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Loki, but now what's going to come out of this? There's going to be like movies branching off in all different directions. I mean, like, it's all money at the end of the day.
You're not
going
to watch everything.
Like,
we're all going to pay for it.
Yeah. Like, I will go to a theater and I will pay $18 and I will pay $20 for a thing of popcorn just so that I can see this in like Ultra AVX, because like that's the shit I live for, you know.
You go on Tuesdays, it's half price.
Hell yeah, go on Tuesdays. Geekcentric Games says Doctor Strange is where we're gonna see her. It's gonna be a huge part of this series, the Doctor Strange movie. Or sorry, Doctor Strange is gonna be a huge part of this series. And I think the two will cross paths in this series. And if she makes the crossover to the MCU, it will be in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
She's in
that sense.
So, I mean, who knows? Honestly, what I have expected from Marvel is to not expect anything. People are like, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going to be in the new Spider-Man film, No Way Home. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. Probably not. I don't want to have my expectations like all the way up here, and then I get down there and like they're in LA doing reshoots of like something else, not the Spider-Man movie. I'm just like on Spider Talk for some reason, Spider TikTok.
Like, also when you think about it, and it wasn't something that I thought about until recently because of What If, but like we did the WandaVision you know, episode, and then we did you guys did the Loki episode. What if, you know, they dangled this thing, this idea of Quicksilver in front of us and the character actually being Ralph Boner, but what if Ralph Boner is Quicksilver's variant? What if he is Pietro's variant? Like,
he has to be
talked about. It has to be, right? Like, they were setting all of this up for us. Like, there's no way that they would have put this character in there for no reason. That they would have put this actor for no reason. Like, who knows? Like, 10 years from now, they might be like, yeah, Johnny Storm, who was played by Chris Evans, and Captain America, who was also played by Chris Evans, might, you know, cross paths. Like, who the frick knows, right? Like, anything is possible.
Could you imagine being in the same movie and being paid twice to play two different people? It's like Chris Evans made $10 million, but Chris Evans made $20 million. So there you go.
They're gonna parent trap each other.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Could you imagine? L is for the way you look. Never mind. That's a deep cut, guys. What is it, 96? I think that came out in 96.
Oh man.
All right, we have a listener question. So Steve from Brooklyn asks, do you think Steve Rogers will become the new Iron Man in this universe?
Well, I did wonder the second that the Hydra Stomper, quote unquote Hydra Stomper, came out. I was like, oh, it's like a new iteration of War Machine. I didn't think Iron Man at all. I immediately thought War Machine because it was made by the USA
for war
political thing, right?
Yeah, me too.
So that's where I think that avenue will go.
He also looks just like Mark One, right? So like whatever Mark One would have been, he had to like make it in a cave and he had to like, you know, come up with the idea. But it's like,
yeah,
it, you know, could have stemmed from his father. Maybe his father had plans that he'd like, you know, never showed in the actual movie of Iron Man, right? So like it looks exactly like Mark One, but it also does look like, well, I said Iron Patriot, but like War Machine, same.
Yeah, or like the one that Hulk ends up wearing in Infinity War.
Right.
Buster.
The Hulk Buster.
Interesting question, Steve from Brooklyn. Thank you.
Yeah, Steve from Brooklyn. He's an avid listener. He's an avid listener.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very, very possible. Because, like, he's not, like, completely disabled. Like, he gains his ability to walk again, but, like, not perfectly, right? Like, I think he has to use a cane or a walker or whatever. But, like, he obviously has the skills to fight in this suit. Like, the suit is protecting him, but he is moving the suit. So, like, why the hell not? Like, you know, just why not?
Yeah. I also, like, rewatching Captain America 2, I realized that I had only watched it once when it first came out, and this will have been my second viewing ever of the first Captain America movie, because it was the first Marvel, like, Avengers universe character that I had ever watched. I didn't watch Iron Man or Thor or anything. I started with Captain America, and I was immediately in love. And then we rewatched it a couple days ago. And they do point out how, like, Steve Rogers is obviously, like, a good guy and he's a good person, but he's very desperate and hungry to also be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. He really wants to, he's like, women don't want to date a scrawny guy and, like, you know, they'll step on my toes. And there was a lot of, like,
it's the like self-deprecating.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, it was all about him like not being man enough or not being strong enough or whatever. And then in this first episode of What If, like, instantly they're like, are you okay? Like, let's, like, help you. We got to get out of here. And he's like, put me in the suit. I need to, like, feel that power again. So I don't know if that's going to, like, affect his character or change him at all, knowing he can, like, live in this situation where he was, like, outmanned by a woman. If that's, like, in the 40s, that must have some sort of, you know, take on the whole thing. He's still this, like, I know their love story is beautiful and she loves him as a person no matter what, but like I feel like there's still a little bit of that, like, I'm still hungry for that power situation. So I wonder if that'll affect his character at all as well, to see if like he becomes like the Tony Stark-esque personality type where he thinks he's like hot shit because he can like ride around in a machine.
Yeah. I don't know if I got that from it. I may have to disagree with you on this one, Joanne.
Okay. Oh my goodness, just, difference of opinion, never.
What?
I just think from like the second that Peggy became Captain Carter and got the soldier serum in her, like Steve never doubted her for a second, and he was with her when she was doing her training, and she threw the plate against the wall, and you know, his confession, or I guess their conversation at the bar when he's saying like, you are now being respected, and he's like you said, Joanne, that she is now being shown what she's always been on the inside, but on the outside, like he still looks at her the same way. And I also think in this episode of What If, their relationship progressed so much faster very little conflict at all. I don't think any. Because in Captain America, he's like kissing that woman because she pulls him off to the side, and then Peggy's pissed at him and he holds up the shield and she shoots him, and it's like, yeah, I guess it'll do. Like there's some battle and they don't actually get to be lovey at all until right before he dies or goes into the ice. Aww. Right. Well, that's what it is, right? They're in the car and she pulls and kisses him and then he leaves and that's that. Whereas this one, it felt like they actually had a relationship from before either of them took the serum all the way till she went through the portal. So I actually think that this is going to make him a stronger, better, not cocky, but confident person in a good way, I think.
I hope so. I know, like, even that moment when they are talking, like he's hyping her up and he's like telling her that, you know, the outside matches the inside and she's awesome. And then I think the last line he says is, she's trying to like find the right words. And he's like, you're finally being, or getting the respect that you deserve. And she almost like makes a sad face. And then he makes one back because she realizes that like he was supposed to get that respect and he was supposed to have taken that role. And be the person that she is getting to be, and all of this exciting stuff that's happening to her. It's like when your friend gets engaged and you're like, screw you, I want to be like, it's like you're really happy for them, but like also like a little upset, you know? 100%. And I just think like him getting this little taste of power that can be taken from him, like if you know, the government like sees the war machine outfit type of thing, like if they take it, or if Stark decides to give it to someone else or whatever, like nothing about him is like special or specific to him using it. Like even Tony has to use his Iron Man suit because it's like attached to his like mechanical heart, but like nothing about Steve says that he's the only one that can be in that suit. So I don't know.
Right.
I feel like I would love to see kind of like a little bit of a darker side to Steve, because he's so like language, like I'm a good guy, I'm perfect, I'm like the measure of good and right in the world. I just kind of want to see him a little bit like, what happens if he doesn't get the thing that makes him who he is? Is he still that person, you know?
I'm with you on that. I think it'd be super cool to see him that way. They just called each other their hero, so I see how this is.
It's
where
lovely.
We see him that way.
I'm just trying to shoot in the world, put it out there.
Yeah.
Do you think that unseramized, scrawny Steve could pick up Mjolnir, though?
I think so.
Like, because
it's not the power that makes him Steve. It makes him, like, he makes himself Captain America. That's why they picked him, right?
Like,
Geek Centric Games in the chat.
object to start anyway.
Oh, well, I mean,
Mjolnir has nothing to do with being strong, though. It's just if you're worthy.
I know.
Like a squirrel was worthy, it could pick up Mjolnir, right? Mew Mew.
A squirrel. Sebastian, Geekcentric Games in the chat says, the one parallel that both characters, Steve and Peggy, have is that they are both out to prove something. So Steve was out to prove that he could fight for his country and be a soldier that everyone thought he couldn't be. And Peggy had to prove to all the misogynistic men that women can be soldiers. So their drive didn't come from the fact that others told them that their drive came from the fact that other people told them that they couldn't do it. And I think that's just really incredible that just right beside this like model of a man and this incredible stoic person, there is also this incredibly strong woman who also could have taken up the mantle of a captain in the army. So really great point. I love that. Some of the other parallels that might have come from this, another point to from a friend in chat, because we lost Peggy instead of Steve and she saved Bucky, that means that Bucky also never became the Winter Soldier. That also dominoes into the fact that Tony's dad, Howard, probably didn't die in that car accident. Do you think that they might have had a better relationship because of that in this entire timeline?
Well, they still had a bad relationship up until the point that he died. I think it was after the fact that Tony eventually forgives Bucky for what happened because he knows it wasn't his mind doing it. And the fact that in Endgame, he's able to go back and meet his father in a different timeline. And he's able to get some sort of clarity. That's the only reason he resolves his issues with his dad, his daddy mm-hmm. issues. But I still think they would have maybe even had a more tumultuous relationship if his mm-hmm. dad never died, because that would have just stuck with him continuously as he grew up, rather than like, okay, my dad's dead. I'm not even going to think about my parents anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he would have been.
Wasn't there something in Age of Ultron that was stated? Remember when they made Barf, the technology that Mysterio's character made? Mm-hmm. And it was an old projection of Tony. And he was like walking around this room with like a piano and his parents were leaving for some kind of trip. Wasn't there a conversation that they had where they were like, we'll talk about this when we get home, or something kind of alluding to the fact that once this trip was finished, they were going to resolve a couple things? I could have sworn that was something that happened.
So what happens is, because he's recreating this universe, he's like, this is what should have happened. She's like, just tell your father you love him and that you're sorry, or like, just like get over it, basically. That's something he like wished his mom had said, or a recreation of the memory made different than what actually happened. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, I never got a chance to do those things. I never said I'm sorry, or he never said he's sorry. We never resolved things, and then he died. It was fake because it was made up by him in his head to like resolve his childhood traumas. It's not real.
Maybe if his dad never died, he never would have actually become the like playboy, horribly mm-hmm. misogynistic man that he became, obviously to an extent, because he would have still been living underneath his dad the whole time, right? So, like, he wouldn't have made a name for himself necessarily the way that he did, because his dad would... I don't know. That's an interesting... What if?
Oh,
right? That's another like, what if that Justin just gave us.
The Winter Soldier is, like, he's Bucky, and we see him kill Howard Stark, but, like, there was more of them, and he wasn't, like, doing it because he wanted to. It wasn't, like, a thing that he did. They just assigned like super soldier number 123 go kill Howard Stark, but if it wasn't him, it would have been somebody else. So I think if not Bucky, then one of the many other people they had as super soldiers at the time would have just mm-hmm. gone and done that task, and it wouldn't have been as personal, obviously, to the story that we're a part of, but he maybe still would have died, you know.
Maybe.
Interesting.
One thing that comes to mind is Black Widow, and how Red Guardian in the prison scene was like, I fought Captain America all through like the 80s, whatever. And they're like, Captain America was frozen. But like, was he frozen? Is that one guy who he was arm wrestling maybe like experiencing a different kind of timeline. Maybe he wasn't born from that timeline. Maybe Steve was given the super soldier serum in that timeline and he exists. Maybe Black Widow's not dead yet. Who knows? Maybe there's a bunch of different universes interspersed into that that movie, specifically the movie and then the after credit scene.
She's definitely dead to Disney, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yikes.
Oh,
sorry.
So
wait, I'm gonna add this one in. It was the sad trombone.
Oh.
Oh. Had to do it.
But yeah, like, I mean, what I'm thinking is that if the guy that he was arm wrestling did say, like, oh, he was frozen because Nat is from that timeline, so he's correct. Like, Captain America was frozen. So then David Harbour maybe is from a different timeline.
Maybe.
Like, maybe something happened, like, during his time of fighting. Like, he probably really did fight Captain America, but what if he fought a different version of Captain America? What if he fought the freaking zombie version of Captain America? We don't freaking know.
Could you imagine?
You know?
Whoa.
Like,
that would be crazy.
Would have made the fight easier.
100%. 100.
Did you see?
You just go up and you chop it all up and you rip it out.
Rip it out. And you...
We don't have a uterus dipshit.
Oh, man. I still love her so much.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I would really love to talk all about the Young Avengers and everything that's to come. That's going to be so sick. Maybe in the in-between episodes, someone in the chat asks, their name's Icy. It's a little bit cold in here. Did you see the deleted scenes from Black Widow?
Not the end credit scenes. A deleted scene?
Deleted scenes I haven't seen.
So because Black Widow is available to order, like to purchase as a something on like Apple TV or whatever, there are deleted scenes that are in the package, I guess, that you'd buy. And one of them is really adorable. It is Natasha kind of back in the Midwest, and she's wearing her thing all of pockets. She's got all the pockets. And she kind of encounters this group of kids who are all playing together. And one of them has a bow and arrow and is going to shoot. And the other one looks kind of like Captain America with like a shield. And they're all kind of acting and playing pretend as the Avengers. And they kind of all see her and they're like looking at her from afar, and she does this cool thing where she goes like with like, I think she does like a finger gun or something like that. It's very cute. I definitely encourage you to see it. I see it cried in the chat, so
fair
it's,
enough.
It's a tearjerker for sure.
This has been so fun talking about the show though. I'm so ready to just like prove to the world that animation is not for children. This is a huge part of my heart right now. Not right now, always, because I'm a big kid who loves animation, but this show totally proves that animation is so much more than a cartoon for kids. You can really show a beautiful story and incredible cinematics, and just like, I don't even know what other words to say. I'm like speechless with how much I love animation and how it can tell a story the same way, if not better, than live action cinema. And I just hope that the world understands that, and that people our age and older and younger understand that the tool that animation provides is essential and fantastic, and we are so lucky to have it for our day and age and our world and the way we get to consume art. I think it's awesome. Yeah, I just want to throw that out there.
No, I mean, you're right. It's great that you feel so passionately about it. It's kind of obviously the way that I like feel about Disney. A lot of people are like, they are children's movies, and I'm like, no, they're actually just classic stories for everybody. Just because they're animated doesn't mean they're specifically for children. If children also happen to like that medium, that's great too. And kids also like real people. Like, the kids like the Wiggles. I don't know.
Seriously.
But yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I think especially with more shows being popularized, like obviously Marvel animated series, but also like Star Wars and even like Rick and Morty. Like that's a very adult animated show.
Bojack Horseman. There are so many.
Oh, 100%. And even like the dumb ones like American Dad or South Park. Like those are animated technically and they are adult shows. So I think this isn't a concept that's new. So people who like to fight or debate or make you feel bad because they're like, oh, animated stuff is for kids. It's like, have you ever watched an adult animated TV show? Question mark.
Yeah.
For you, Kyle.
Oh my God, you killed Kenny.
Alyssa's never seen an episode of South Park.
I saw only one episode of South Park, and it was the episode where I can't even say it on air.
They killed Kenny.
Nope.
No, it was an episode where one of the characters who is in a wheelchair or has walkers went to some kind of poultry farm. It was really upsetting. Anyways,
South Park is not for children.
It is not for children. And I think they also got signed for like a movie and a whole bunch of new seasons. And also they wrote the Book of Mormon. Anyways, this has been The Breakdown. Let us know your thoughts on the latest episode of What If and what you thought about the next one by emailing us at hellovideodames@gmail.com. That's hellovideodames@gmail.com.
And if you want to keep up with us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at hellovideodames. We record the show live on twitch.tv/itsyourgirlalyssa. And if you catch it on Thursday nights, you'll be lucky to be in the room.